All right, happy Monday on the Ira Kaufman podcast, tantalizing across Tampa Bay and the internet. If you're just tuning in for the first time, remember, Ira's podcast pops Tuesday. Actually, this Tuesday, Ira. I got my days mixed up. I can't believe it. That's because we record this thing in advance. Tuesday, that means we're 16 days from the free agency dinner bell ringing. 16 days. But of course, if you're just listening to the podcast for the first time, it's right there for you on iTunes. All you got to do is search Buccaneers, Bucks, Ira Kaufman, whatever you want. You'll find it. It's also on Podbean, if you like that, as your method of capturing a podcast on demand.
I hear the arrow's going up on my podcast, Steve. The arrow.
You know why, Ira? It's a good podcast, and that's why it's going up.
You don't mince words. I throw out a couple of key phrases that nobody's ever heard before.
Yes, you give your vocabulary lessons and your bizarre references. I'm Steve Isbitz. I'm here with Lee DeCamper. Of course, we are the heart and soul of JoeBucksFan.com, and we let Ira play along in our world.
What am I, an appendage? You're the heart and soul.
There you go, Ira. Mr. Vocabulary. I used this the other day in Morning Cup of Joe when I'm a little bit more freer to be obnoxious or crazy or whatever. There was a great picture of Brent Musburger, who's starting up his gambling radio show on Sirius XM, and there was a picture of him walking through a Vegas casino. It appeared to be Tropicana. That's what it looked like to me. I could be wrong. Anyway, he's walking through a casino in Vegas. In his left hand, he's got a Dalmatian with him.
Oh, God.
In his right hand, he's got a bottle of Budweiser. And he's wearing, and here's the word I used, a jaunty fedora.
How am I going to top that, Steve?
Well, I mean,
that's the standard.
I mean, you're wearing your knickers and fedora right now as we record this. So,
as I go off to see Barbara Streisand in concert.
That is what you do, Ira. It is what you do. Of course, your podcast is presented by our good friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. You can find them, Ira, at edmorriscadillactampa.com. That's how you want to start your car shopping search. Or edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. And, of course, our favorite trivia question, Ira, is Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. The answer is that's Brandon's only luxury dealership. And we're going to talk more about them a little bit later as
we progress. I'm a walking advertisement, Steve. I got shirts. I got hats. I wear them on the tennis court. People are bedazzled. They miss the ball completely because they're focused on the hat.
That's because everyone you're playing is 85 years old, Calvin. Come on, let's get it straight.
Did you not wear your gear in the Hall of Fame room?
I believe I did. I believe I did wear my gear in the hall.
You told us that story, and you're sticking to it.
Dan Fouts, a couple of seats down, said, "Well, what the heck is that, Kaufman?" And I had to explain myself.
And then you put your pants on. No, I'm kidding. All right.
Oh, what a line, Steve. Outstanding.
We're just having some fun here on the podcast. So now we talk, of course, we talk Bucks, we talk NFL, and there are some hot Bucks topics of the day, Ira, that we want to hit on. And first, though, I want to go right to the quarterback position. The Jaguars, they made a little move early in free agency, re-signing Chad Henne. Now, Tom Coughlin is in charge over there, and he's obviously decided that he wants to spend some money on a backup quarterback. Some GMs don't want to do that. Some do. There's a lot of names coming free. Nick Foles is going to be coming free. Endless stream of names. Brian Hoyer. Other ones, who knows? I mean, it's going to keep coming.
Josh McCown's still out there.
Brian Hoyer.
Josh McCown's out there. You know, I mean, Hoyer as a backup's a guy who's won games as a backup, as far as being a proven
backup. You haven't mentioned your nemesis. Your nemesis is Mike Glennon.
He's not my nemesis.
You can't wait to take a couple of pot shots.
No, I'm going to ask you this. You know the regime. You know that the Glazers are an impatient lot. They've proved that the last handful of years. Lee wrote about their impatience recently, and it's well documented, and I have no problem with impatience. I think it's fantastic. It mirrors the fans, and you need a little bit of that, to run a good organization. The guy, Ryan Griffin, Bucks have had a third-string quarterback for 2 years now on the roster. They're grooming this guy, but is this the guy you want? And do you think there's an edict from Team Glazer that says, hey, look, don't get caught with your pants down, Jason, if Jameis gets hurt? We need somebody in there. What do you think?
I think it's a topic worth exploring. I thought you were going to try to make your pitch, your madcap pitch again for Mike Glennon re-signing with the Bucks.
It's your podcast.
And Steve, the reason that the Glennon thing doesn't work is it's not the Bucks don't control the situation anymore. He can hit free agency. He's entitled to do it. He's been waiting to do it. That's enough about Mike Glennon. He wants a shot at being a starter. No, he's not going to make $12 million. I'd be a fool to say that. But I think you bring up an interesting question. you know, as much as he's been in Dirk Cutter's system, maybe for a couple of years, Steve, he doesn't get any reps, let's be honest. What do we know about this kid? We don't know anything about this kid when the bullets fly. Look, the Bucks have been hard. You know, they've had their share of injuries. Everybody knows it in the last couple of years. But I've gone on this podcast before, and I've had you stopped in mid-sentence when I have suggested to you gentlemen that on the injury front, the Bucks, I think, have been rather fortunate the last few years. Nobody wants to believe that.
Sure.
They're all Buck fans. But I go back to my original concept, Lee. You draw up a list of the five indispensable Bucks that they can't afford to have hurt, and those guys aren't on the list. Vincent Jackson is not one of the five. He doesn't make it. So that gets me to Jameis Winston. He's virtually taken every snap for 2 years. Virtually every snap. He hasn't missed a game in 2 years. That's fortunate. But I think you're right. I think the Glazers should have a conversation with Light and Cutter saying...
Let me clarify. I didn't even give an opinion. I asked you, do you think... I appreciate that you think I'm right. I'm just saying, do you think the Glazers say, look, Light, Cutter, don't get caught with your pants down with Ryan Griffin?
I think there needs to be a conversation. Do we need a more proven backup? A more proven backup. You're rolling the dice every year thinking that Jameis Winston is going to play 16 games. And in this league, if he's out 3 weeks, you can't afford to go 0-3. So at this point, Lee, I don't have any faith in Ryan Griffin. What do I know about Ryan Griffin?
Here's something for you, Hank Stram. It broke this late this afternoon, and it's broke, and it's not BS because the guy hired Lee Steinberg. There's a certain gentleman, former number one. He was a first round draft pick of a quarterback, not number one overall. If I recall correctly, he won a Heisman Trophy. I do know they won a national championship. He's coming out of mothballs, Vince Young.
Oh boy, oh boy.
Would you take a stab at him?
No, he doesn't strike me as a backup. He strikes me as a third guy that you bring along and that you need in your system for a few years. Again, Steve, Ryan Griffin, I think there needs to be a conversation about having a more secure feeling about your backup. Now, you and I don't know what Cutter feels about Ryan Griffin. We don't know that. He sees him a lot more than we do, but from my vantage point, Lee, I think I want a little bit more of a secure feeling once Glennon's left the building, which he will.
I'm sure Lee's got a strong opinion on the backup. What do you think about the backup quarterback, Lee?
You think it's a non-issue?
Well, this is the way I look at it. Steve has brought this up before, and he's right, and I've brought this up before, that off the top of my head, the only backup quarterback or Super Bowl winning teams with a backup quarterback, Jeff Hostetler with the Giants, and yes, Trent Dilfer with the Ravens. He was a backup. Oh, what was that stiff he played behind? Guy from Michigan State. I can't think of his
Bowler?
Name. Bowler? What's that?
Bowler?
Kyle Bowler?
It?
Not Kyle Bowler, before him. This guy, he went to Michigan State, and he bounced around. He was with the Rams for a while, and it was a garbage quarterback. But Brian Billick liked garbage quarterbacks for some reason. But the reason why the Ravens won the Super Bowl with Dilfer, and the reason why the Giants won the Super Bowl with Jeff Hostetler, wasn't because of Dilfer and Hostetler, respectively. They had world-class defenses. But Bucks
Lee,
don't have world-class
defenses.
We're just
talking about a guy filling in for 3 or 4 weeks.
If you lose your starting quarterback, unless you have a world-class defense, you're SOL. I don't care who you are. You're SOL.
Well, okay. a couple of things to that. Doug Williams won a Super Bowl as a backup quarterback, and that was...
That was 30 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was 30 years
ago. It was 30 years ago.
Exactly 30 years ago. But, I mean, he still was a backup, and if they went with a scrub, they wouldn't have a Super Bowl ring. I like your point, Ira, of if you do lose your guy for 2 or 3 games, it's nice to win one of them.
Sort of like Garoppolo and Brady.
That can be the difference. Matt Hasselbeck did just that with Indianapolis a couple years ago when
Luck went down.
Had his spleen injury or whatever his injury, I forgot what it was. But, I mean, that is...
Matt Moore didn't do a bad job in Miami.
No, he did okay
this year. No, he got them...
They were a playoff team. That's right, they were.
Get them to 10 wins. I think, and I agree with
you. I start to see what you're getting.
You are SOL if you're backup. If you go
for an extended
backup,
period. For an
you're in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, I see where you guys are going. 2 or 3 period.
What I think is, though, if the Glazer Light Cutter triumvirate there... If they're always trying, they'll tell you, every last one of them will tell you we're always trying to upgrade our position. Well, you know what? If you go from Mike Glennon to Ryan Griffin, you've downgraded your backup quarterback position. And I think it's something to think about. Because
I don't think it's a spot you need. You want to be cheap. You know, you're not spending $8 million for a backup. But don't try to nickel and dime a backup quarterback.
Well,
I don't like it.
If you believe that you're a good team, and this is really the key, if you believe that one win can put you over the top into the playoffs, then you need a backup quarterback. So it's something to watch.
And they're out there, right, Steve? They're out there.
Well, there's an endless list of guys out there who can win a game for you. I'm not sure if Ryan Griffin's one of those
guys. Now, hold on, Steve. Lee mentioned the guy's name, and I don't know. This sticks in my craw a little bit.
Not craw.
Let's talk about this New England situation for a minute. Am I the only guy in the world? And I might be, but I need you two guys to straighten me out. This suggestion, the notion that Belichick can wrangle a first-round pick for a guy with basically no experience on the pro level, who nobody thought that much about coming out of college, this is beyond absurd. That doesn't mean this won't happen. But I'm telling you guys, this aura about the Patriots, you got to be careful. You got to be careful when you take their assistant coaches. You got to be careful when you take their starting players. And you certainly got to be careful when you take a backup and you invest heavily in them that hasn't done anything on the NFL level. Steve, the history of the NFL in the last 15 years tells us emphatically it's all about Belichick. When the assistants leave, they don't do much. When the players leave, they don't do much. What is this infatuation with Garoppolo? He had a couple of good ball games. He's playing for the New England Patriots. He went, what did he go? 2-1? 1-1 before he got hurt? This is crazy talk.
I can answer this. I'll let Lee, if Lee wants to answer it. Otherwise, I got a good answer for you, Ira. You want to take a
step? People are quarterback starved. It's that simple.
What has he done?
Well, here's the thing. Look, Garoppolo is a second-round pick.
Okay.
Okay, and nobody said, oh, my gosh, what the hell, a second-round pick? He was a late second-round pick.
By Belichick, mind you.
By Belichick. But even so, but nobody said, how could this guy be a late second-round pick? He was in that ballpark. And a lot of the teams right now who need a quarterback, 3 years ago in the draft, they were looking at Garoppolo and scouting him because they still needed a quarterback. So I don't think it's that far-fetched. He's been developed well. We can assume, and he was a second-round pick. So
history,
you know,
shows when they leave Foxborough, they don't do much, Steve. They don't.
I understand.
And may I throw this out? Lee, if Belichick really thought he was the quality heir apparent to Brady, and who knows how long Brady's going to play, but one of these years he's going to get hurt again or something, you know, would Belichick let him out of his clutches?
You answered your own question. His contract's coming up. Rookie contract, he's coming up, and Garoppolo's likely to get more money as a starter for, I don't know, Vikings, you name it, as opposed to being a backup with New England. I mean, Brady should be the highest paid player in the NFL. He's not even close to being that.
Well, Garoppolo's got 1 year left on his contract, and it's a quarterback-starved league, and I think Garoppolo's looked at around the league as a guy who's been well-trained, and I don't think it's just that far-fetched. People are overpaying for quarterbacks for years. I mean, Minnesota dropped a first-round pick on Christian Ponder.
Well, I still remember the guy in Green Bay, guys. Remember, he had one good game or something. People went nuts over
him. Matt Flynn.
Yeah, your boy Matt Flynn. Who picked him up? Minnesota, Steve?
Seattle, right?
Seattle, and they didn't use him.
Oh, my God. What a colossal mistake. Anybody can have a good game. Lee, anybody can have a good game. I'm just very wary of people succeeding in the New England system, and you look at it and say,
and you should be wary, because look at Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
Look at
Hoyer.
Look at Ryan Mallett.
Hoyer
is probably the best of the bunch because he won 7 games in Cleveland.
Anybody heard of Ryan Mallett recently? You know,
hey, beat the Bucks last year, or 2015. Anyway, but it's I don't know. I think the backup situation is. We don't know what they really think of Ryan Griffin, but the guy hasn't played.
And assuming Glennon's gone,
I think even also, if you want to add to the development of Jameis Winston, if you want to help him develop, he'll learn something from a guy who's played 8 years in the league.
That's a very good point, too.
He's not going to learn anything from from Griffin.
You
so
know, you can listen to Mike Kajakian every day, Steve, but when you hear it from a guy who's been through the wars, it resonates.
A little different perspective. I don't know. It's something to watch. All right, Ira. Now, look, another thing to watch is those deals and the opportunities over at Edmore's Cadillac. Brandon, it's time to take a vacation. Buy with zero down and make zero payments for 3 months. Or drive a new ATS.
You are smoother than Jay-Z, my man. That's unbelievable.
I'm sure you listened to Jay-Z after your Bette Midler. You got it right again.
I watched the Grammys for 2 hours until I found somebody whose music I knew anything about.
right in your iPod. But no, really, Ira, at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, you can buy with zero down, make zero payments for 3 months, drive new ATSs, $319 a month, XT5s, my favorite, $439 a month. Take a vacation at Brandon's only luxury dealership. Visit Edmore's Cadillac Brandon.com and definitely see dealer for all the details and all the opportunities and all the ins and outs. Now, Ira, a quick question that we had from on Twitter for you, for the podcast. Very simple question. Fans are always wondering, especially the real crazy hardcores who actually listen to this podcast. Indoor facility for the Bucks, practice facility. We were pretty much told by the Bucks brass last summer that about a year away. So what do you got? What do you think?
I'll tell you what I got. There's one driving force behind this indoor facility, and his name ain't Brian Glazer. He wears a number 3. He stands over center, and Jameis Winston looked at both of us, and I believe it was right after he was drafted. I think it might have been the day after, and he came into the media room after his big conference, and somebody asked him about an indoor facility, and he said, "It's going to happen. We're going to have one." He didn't wait to talk to a Glazer, Jason Light, or Lovie Smith, who was the coach at that time. He said, it's going to happen. And what Jameis wants, Jameis gets.
Pretty much.
For a great degree. And I think it's sorely missing. I do. Is it going to add a couple of wins? No, I'm not saying that. But creature comfort counts. Steve, the oppressive conditions. I think we've been lucky with the rain. In August, we've been relatively lucky the last few years. Not a lot of rainouts. You can't count on that. I think it's a front burner issue, and Joel told me last year at the owners' meetings that they're on track. So I'm looking for it for this summer.
I'm going to ask both of you guys, because I know both of you guys talked to Joel Glazer about this roughly a year ago. He did not have a timetable, correct?
I think he said 2017.
I think he told me about a year away.
Yeah, I mean, he was general. He was general, but he wasn't saying, well, it'll be ready by November or March.
There was no date.
Yeah.
And Joe Bucks fan will ask Joel Glazer that question again. Lee?
Well, I won't be asking for 2 reasons. One, Steve's going to be there.
I
and
understand.
So will you, I think.
I understand.
And number two, I don't give a damn. I don't give a care if they ever build a freaking thing.
So you don't you think it's superfluous. There's my word for today. You don't think it means anything, basically?
No, and I'll add this. And fans, and Steve knows.
It'd be nice if they let the fans in there, Steve. Now that would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice. During a hot summer afternoon.
And Steve will notice this too, or recognize this, I should say. When it rains for practice in summertime and training camp, the fans freak out as if someone burnt the place down. Oh my gosh, it's raining! You can't practice in the rain. There isn't one stinking football coach in America. I don't care if it's Pee Wee, high school, college, NFL, that doesn't love practices in the rain. Because you know what? Football games, it's not baseball where they call the game if it's raining.
And well, it can simulate game conditions.
You're darn right. No, I remember Bill Cowher one time was on SiriusXM NFL radio and just went on and on and on and on about what a wonderful thing rain is for practices. It cannot be duplicated. It cannot be copied. You can't use a bucket of water and dip the ball in there. And he just went on and on and on about how the benefits of
the fact
that.
Remains, though, guys, that a lot of teams have indoor practice facilities.
And a lot of teams
at their training camp.
And a lot of teams have domes. Does that mean they all have a dome here? I mean, I just think that is so overblown. I mean, now if you want to factor in lightning, that's a different animal. Then I can see that. But if it's just for the rain, goodness gracious, people, these guys aren't made of sugar.
I agree. I lean more toward Lee here.
Of course.
With this. Well, I mean, you know, and I'll tell you why. I'll disagree with you because the Bucks have had a lot of issues with weather the last 2 seasons. Absolutely. They went to the Trop, I think, twice last year in training camp. The previous year, we lost the first day of training camp under Lovie.
That's not a lot.
Half a day. They did play practice at USF.
And then we went to USF when it was so much rain at USF.
And it was still raining at USF. Yeah.
And there was so much rain there, it was ludicrous, really, to be out there. I mean, there's rain, and then there's you know, I can't see kind of stuff. And they lose practice time. And it does mess
up
their
schedule. Sounds like you're agreeing with me over there.
Here's why I agree with Lee. Uh-oh. Is because with all the way that Cutter babied this team last year, oh, we can't practice in the heat. We got all the way he babied them from the heat and took them to the trop and other
stuff. You don't like them practicing in the morning? You don't think that's wise?
I think it's fine. But let's face it, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you had 2 days, 3 days. And the players are babied today, which is fine. My point is that even losing this time and having a jockey around or whatever, the Bucks showed up in Atlanta for opening day and spanked the NFC champs. So they were ready for opening day, fresh and ready for opening day. And that's the whole job of training
camp. Then they went to Phoenix and got their butts handed.
Well, that's because they thought they were too cool.
and still, without an indoor practice facility, they were one win away from the playoffs. And to build on what Steve just said about Cutter, and this crossed my mind a couple weeks ago. You know, talking about Cutter babying the guys. Oh, we have to have night practices. We'll have a golf tent out there so they can practice, or they can do their warm-ups and their walkthroughs at night, all this nonsense. Did you happen to notice all the injuries on offense? I mean, it was a staggering amount of injuries, specifically at wide receiver. Yet, Cutter babied these guys. And part of the reason he babied these guys, so they can be healthy for the long haul. Well, there was no long haul with Vincent Jackson, with Lewis Murphy, with Cecil Shorts, on down the line.
Doug Martin.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is with a state-of-the-art facility like they have, you might as well top it off and finish it.
Well, now I'm going to lean more in your direction. I'll say this, though. If you run an indoor facility properly, you can do a lot of things with it as far as some community uses and some other ways that the team
can use
it.
Like Jerry Jones does.
A lot of ways you can use it. But I'll lean toward Ira on this aspect. If you do get a year with a tropical storm down here, and you have an indoor facility that you can practice in and not lose 4 straight days, which would really screw you up. For that 1 year that's going to happen, they would be very lucky and happy to have that facility. And unfortunately, that's inevitable.
And, Steve, you could even have a cheerleader practice in there where and maybe you have the Kemper leading it.
Well, here you go, Ira. You know. You read my mind. And this, what I'm about to say is not BS. This actually happens. With Jerry Jones, I guess he built a castle for his new facility down in Frisco, Texas, which is north of Dallas.
What do they call it? The Star or
the
something?
The Star, yeah, yes. Yeah, right. And if you are a certain level of a season ticket holder, yeah, of course, money,
there you go.
You get all kinds of access. Included in that access is to watch cheerleader practice.
Only the Kemper would know that, Steve. Only the
Lee's
Kemper.
Got it all down. You know, the Bucks had actually talked about, it was the league had talked about, having cheerleaders roam around the stands, the stadium, and you could order a cheerleader to come and visit you.
Come on.
Yes, the league had explored
this. You mean
this.
During a game?
Yes. During a game, you order a cheerleader. Now, there's no Ira, just to clarify.
It's a little bit different than
you
going
get a side of fries?
It's a little bit different than going to Aria in Vegas at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Let's say that there's no lap.
What kind of podcast are you running over here?
There's no lap dance. There's no lap dance. There's no there's no implied favors.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just a visit.
There's no charging by the hour.
A visit for a little cheer, maybe a selfie, that kind of thing.
How the heck are you going to explain that to your girlfriend sitting next to you?
That's a selfie, not the other word, a selfie.
Oh, my God.
All right, Ira. Now, let's turn our attention to...
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
I think it's a great idea. They just have to figure out how to do it.
You know? Can I order an official?
Cutter wishes he could.
Oh, boy.
Order an official. Now, what I didn't understand about that when the NFL did release that they were talking about this is, how does that work? Because there's no room. I mean, if there's a... If it's
You're all, standing in front of me. I can't see.
If it's a whole row of seats, how do you get a visit? You know, I'm sitting 6 seats in. I don't get it. But then I was thinking about, you know, maybe the cheerleader agrees to just sit on your lap for 2 minutes, like a timetable, you know.
This podcast is out of control, Lee. We're infringing on commish territory right now.
Well, I was thinking Howard Stern, but okay.
I like how you switch from the verb touch to infringe.
What else you got for us, Stevie? Right. What else?
Now, look.
Infringe.
if you're trying to get better, that goes to the backup quarterback argument, but it also applies to every position on the field.
Talk about changing subjects from ordering a cheerleader to a backup quarterback.
Well, Steve keeps us on the right track.
Well, I mean, well, we discussed the backup quarterbacks, but when this organization is looking about getting better and you look to the offensive line, I think it's clear to all of us that the place to get better is at center. Joe Hawley, he came to the Bucs off an ACL. He had multiple knee issues last year. I don't really think he's the future or the answer, even though they like a lot of what he brings to the table.
He's also not a Buck draft pick. That doesn't help.
Not a Buck draft pick.
Surrounded by Smith, Marpet, and Pamphile. You know, it counts. Mm-hmm. It
now,
does.
Now, Ira, the chatter in Philadelphia, okay, where Howie Roseman is the general manager. He's also
very, very tight with Light.
Very tight,
very
with,
tight
Light.
With Light.
Actually have some family history, personal history there. I don't need to go into that. I don't know if that story is public record or not. But they have a Pro Bowl center up in Philadelphia, okay, Mr. Kelsey. Now, Mr. Kelsey, Jason Kelsey, is a guy who up in Philly, they're talking about, well, maybe they might not keep him because they don't want to pay him. He's like the highest paid center in the league, $6, $7 million, and they might just let him go because they have Stefan Wisniewski, a guy they signed last year who's going to be a free agent. Wisniewski was four-year starter for the Raiders. Donald Penn told me this guy's a center. He can play guard, but he's a center, and he's damn good. Jason Light brought
him. Is
this
a guy who maybe his father also played for
yes,
the Raiders?
Yes, yeah. Uncle,
Penn State guy.
Uncle Penn
Steve,
State guy.
Steve Wisniewski?
Yes. This is,
very good player.
Yeah. So Stefan Wisniewski, 4 years with the Raiders, and then he leaves the Raiders in free agency. He comes and he visits with Jason Light. And the Bucs meet with him and spend time with him, and they don't sign him. Signs with Jacksonville. Starts there for a year at center, the year that in 2015 when that was the breakthrough year for Mr. Bortles, and they were actually had a much stronger offense then. And it came out that the reason he signed a one-year deal in Jacksonville is because he had off-season shoulder surgery, and no, everyone was nervous and leery. But you know what? He started 16 games on a good offense. So then he doesn't get a new deal. He goes to Philly, and they make him a guard, and he didn't want to play guard, but he played guard. And now he wants to start at center again. So Philly's got a guy who's a proven starter, who's 27, in Wisniewski, who wants to play center. And they've also got a Pro Bowler from this year who they may not want to pay. That gives them two centers. You think the Bucs might want one of those
guys?
How
old's Kelsey?
Kelsey, I don't know, 30, 31. But he was a Pro Bowler this year. He's the real deal. Nobody thinks he's over the hill.
Mobile.
He's a center.
Fierce. Aggressive.
I never met him in an alley, but I mean, we're talking. You think maybe,
you know,
they look up there?
You know, Lee, this reminds me of the great line by Mike Tomlin. I think it's one of the great lines. It's probably not Tomlin's line, Lee. He got it from somebody else, but he used to say it in Tampa, and I've still heard him say it at NFL owners' meetings. We'll tolerate you until we can replace you.
I thought that was a Raheem line.
Raheem got it from Tomlin.
Okay,
Raheem got it from Tomlin. Tomlin was his mentor.
I'm sorry that I'm still snickering. Your reaction to renting a cheerleader was class. Yeah,
that infringement thing. Steve, upgrade when you can. Upgrade when you can. We saw what a center did for Atlanta. We got the proof right there in the division. Boom. Here he comes. And look at the ripple effect on Matt Ryan. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, this guy is responsible for an offense that scored 540 points. Mm. But he certainly played a role, Lee.
Yeah, sure.
He certainly did. And, you know, that's the anchor of your offensive line, the center spot.
It is. It all starts there.
All starts there. Great centers in the past, like Dwight Stevenson, Demonte Dawson.
Ooh.
Kevin Mawai was up for the Hall this year. Mm-hmm. He's a great one. They can do wonders for your running game,
mm-hmm.
Call the protections. Steve, answer your question, it's a position that kind of cries out for an upgrade, and if they can work things out with Kelsey, I'm all for it.
Jason Kelsey, 29 years old, Pro Bowler.
Right in his prime.
Pro Bowler in 2014, Pro Bowler in 2016. Guy has made 76 starts.
Any injuries history?
And I don't think so, but I'm going to double check here, see, because we have the technology here on this podcast. to actually look at these things, and Kelsey hasn't missed a game since 2014.
Durable.
So there seems like there might be a trade opportunity there as well. Jason Light's made a lot of trades. And
is Kelce under contract?
Kelce's under contract. I think it's one more year. It's $6.5 million or something like that. But that's peanuts for the Bucks if they're looking for a quick upgrade. I don't know why you would trade for a guy necessarily if the team's thinking of cutting him. But I don't know. How aggressive do you think they'll be on making a move on the O line?
I think they're going to be. I think they'll be very aggressive at center, Lee. I do. Let's be honest. They ran the ball terribly last year. You can't pin it all on little Doug Martin. Not all of it. Charles Sims didn't run well at all.
Oh, he can't run between tackles, period.
Never mind that. I'm like a broken record. Gained 1,000 yards from scrimmage in 2015. Gained 1,000 yards behind
good,
the Pro
just
Bowler.
Just run the stinking ball between the tackles once, will you?
An average 4.9 yards a carry. 4.9, Mr. DeKemper. Kaufman doesn't forget these things. 4.9.
Did you just refer to yourself in the third person?
I believe I did. That's you that's got beautiful. Me still going with, that, with the cheerleader thing. I haven't gotten over it yet. I'm all discombobulated.
I thought you were going to say.
Can you order one in the press box? Never mind.
I wish.
Never mind section 301.
It would have been done already.
I thought you said discombobulated for a second.
No. I think center is the spot, Steve. I think they're. Now to hear Cutter talk, Lee, he says, I'm very happy with our offensive line. Well, what else is a coach going to say? but I think if they can get a Pro Bowl center, Lee, that's a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah. And because I want to say this name so badly, I got to work this in. To demonstrate what a center can do for you, if Bucks fans want a perfect example. A few years ago when the Bucks had Jeff Fain, Fain got hurt. It was Raheem's first year, if I remember correctly, against the Cowboys, if I remember specifically. Jeff Fain got hurt, and in trots in the notorious Sean Mayhem. And
oh, boy.
It was a jailbreak after that.
Absolutely. And not that Fain was a Pro Bowler for the Bucks. He wasn't.
Not
he,
with
he
the
was
Bucks.
Okay. No.
When they signed him,
yeah, when
he,
they signed
he was supposed
him.
To be of that caliber. I have to take issue with what you're saying here, Ira. I can't let you get away with this stuff you throw around. I believe that Dirk Cutter is being sincere when he says he was happy with his O-line. I really believe that. He saw, aside from some blips, obviously, the swinging saloon gate of Gazdar Cherilis in Dallas, notwithstanding.
The facts are their offense took a hit in 2016. Wasn't nearly as good.
It wasn't nearly as good.
Who are you going to blame, Dirk Cutter?
No, we're going to blame Doug Martin. We're going to blame...
The Cecil Shorts
and the queue of the bad receivers.
Cavalcade of bad receivers.
And I'm going to tell you, Cameron Brate came out of nowhere, which they didn't expect.
Didn't?
Ira? Cavalcade.
Cavalcade. are you telling me the offensive line was a stellar group?
No, I'm telling you, I believe Dirk Cutter when he says he was happy with his O-line. Doesn't mean they won't look to upgrade, but I believe that Cutter was happy with Donovan Smith. I believe that Cutter was very pleasantly surprised with Mr. Pamphile. I believe that they liked getting every snap and a solid play out of Marpet. And I believe that Mr. Dotson held his own, and he sure was appreciated when he got hurt with a concussion.
You haven't touched on the Charles center position.
Well, the center position is that hole, but I don't think Cutter was upset with the O-line.
Oh, I'm not arguing with that, but, It's not the number one priority. It's not the number two priority.
Three, maybe.
But the center spot needs an upgrade. And I think all three of us are in agreement on that.
Yeah, I just don't think Hawley's enough. I can't.
You love his attitude.
Well,
yes,
if you
do.
There's not.
Yes,
here's the thing. There's not much in the free agency market at center. Not a lot at all. And if you sign Hawley, you're probably going to have to sign him as a money that's 2 years worth of starting. And I don't know if he's really that. That guy. It might be time to find Jameis's either at a real established guy or draft a guy who you can stick in there. Maybe a second or third round.
I just think that Dirk Cutter and Light. I don't say they go to sleep thinking about this, but it's very close. What's on their mind is what Alex Mack. His
oh,
impact.
Yeah. And before that with the Saints, they got an All-Pro center.
Yeah, Max Unger. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there in the division.
So you're saying they go to bed at night thinking about renting a cheerleader?
I didn't say that. They're thinking football, and they should be thinking football.
All right, Ira. And speaking of football, that's our favorite sport. But our favorite place to shop for a vehicle, where is that, Ira? That's Ed Moore's
Tampa, Ed Morse, Brandon.
Now, you see, I'm taking exception, Ira, because you seem to always forget to say Ed Morse, Cadillac, Tampa.
Oh.
Ed Morse, Cadillac, Brandon.
Absolutely right, Steve.
See, there are...
That's because I don't have the Cadillac yet. If I had the Cadillac, it would be right on my mind a little bit more.
It's four
You're
words.
Working on it. You're
Ed Morse, Cadillac, Tampa. Ed Morse, Cadillac, Brandon.
I'll tell you one thing. It's been a great partnership as far as I'm concerned. I hope they're happy with it. But I wear those shirts proudly, gentlemen.
Everything's great. Just don't show your face there, all right? just don't go there. Now, I'm teasing you, of course. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, though, get a break from your car payments with what we love to call a paycation. Buy with zero down and don't pay for 3 months. That's a deal. That's your kind of deal, Calvin.
It is.
And or lease. 2017 XT5 crossovers, $419 a month with zero dues, sign and drive, located just west of I-275 on Fletcher. Or click EdMorseCadillacTampa.com to get it all started.
Can you rent the saleswoman? You got me going with that.
What are you doing here?
You got me absolutely going with that thing. Well, yeah, I can't get over it.
You're discombobulated.
I thought he was making it up.
No, he wasn't.
I wasn't making it up at all.
Who came up with that? Jerry Jones?
And, of course, maybe. Of course, all the offers, the great offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa that we just mentioned, approved credit, standard courtesy vehicle, 39 months, plus tax, includes tag and title. Interest accrues from date of purchase, excludes leases, see dealer for details. And, of course, it's always see dealer for details, but that's where you want to start.
The Bucks should be so lucky to get deals like that in free agency.
Speaking of Jerry Jones, Steve, didn't last year at the Combine, you try to barge on Jerry Jones' Cowboys bus?
Come
seriously
clean now, Steven.
That's
on.
A distortion of the story, and we're going to leave it at that. What happens in Indianapolis
stays in Indianapolis.
I swear he tried to bum rush his way onto the bus.
Guys, we're closing.
I got to tell you a funny story on that front. Right. Todd Wright, who hosts the Fantasy Football Podcast.
Big-time golfer.
On JoeBucksFan.com. People know him from local sports radio and ESPN radio and whatnot. Todd seems to know women all over the country.
He's a rock on tour.
And he's just a guy who is just
I think he's cuddly.
All right. I guess we'll go with that.
We'll go with that.
He's just one of those guys, right? So, you know, you never know if somebody's just talking or is, you know, full of BS
he's
and stuff.
He's got the gift of gab, Lee, right? He does.
So before I'm heading off to Indianapolis, Todd says to me, oh, please say hi.
I remember this.
Please say hi to, I forget her name. Please go to X Bar, St. Elmo's, the famous St. Elmo's. Says, please go say hi to...
To the hostess?
No, he says, please go say hi to whatever her name is. I'll say Lisa. Please go say hi to Lisa. She bartends at St. Elmo's. Please tell her Todd was thinking of her and was really, really thinking fondly of her. And he like gives me this little warm little speech.
This is the place with the shrimp cocktail.
Yes, yes.
That you need a gallon of beer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gives me this little speech to say. And
you thought he was kidding, right?
I didn't think was kidding, but you never know what's going on. So I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so, of course, I did it. I found her, and she was just touched, just visibly touched.
You said Todd says hello?
Well, he had me like a couple lines to say, and I had him down. But I don't know what made me think of that exactly. But
did you get a free drink out of it, though, Steve?
No free drink. No free drink.
I will add to this: the I got to be careful. There's people around us.
I understand.
The help, shall we say, the help at St. Elmo's, Hooters, Calendars, girls in slinky red cocktail dresses.
Did you have a shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's, Stephen?
I had two.
You did? Now, hold on. I got a quick story. Ten years ago, would say. 10 years ago.
No, this is not a surprise to you about the waitresses then, if you've been to St. Elmo's. Yeah. You know this. Okay.
Well, so 10 years ago.
10 years ago, the Bucks played the Colts in Indianapolis.
On your 75th birthday party.
And Peyton Manning was the quarterback. And this is when the Trib not only functioned, but had money. And we would send three guys on a road trip.
You, Roy, and Martin.
Yes, and this particular year, Martin couldn't go, so Anwar Richardson was our third guy.
Okay.
And he was the second backup, you know, behind Roy and me. And so here we go. We traipse into Indianapolis on a Saturday. And where do we end up? St. Elmo's, Saturday night. Roy had been there before.
Sure.
And I think I had been there once before. And here comes Richardson. He is a St. Elmo's neophyte, a rookie.
I know where you're going.
And so we sit down and we get our drinks and this and that. hey, you want to start with a shrimp cocktail? Roy goes, we absolutely.
So what are you drinking, a gin gimlet or a Manhattan?
A Dubonnet on the rocks, a Dubonnet. And so Roy goes, you know, hey, shrimp cocktails all around. Mm-hmm. Well, she comes back 10 minutes later, puts one in front of each of us, and, you know, it's got the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy goes to Richardson.
Which is mostly horseradish for the folks.
And Roy says to Richardson, you know, the thing that makes the shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's is the horseradish. You got to dollop it on with a big spoon. Well, what does Richardson know? He has trust in his beat writer. Silly man.
That's ornery.
And the next thing you know, a big dollop, D-O-L-L-O-P, and then the wallop.
And the wallop.
And Richardson was gasping for breath. He was coughing hysterically. We had to pour water on the poor man. I had to give him my water. It was quite a scene, Steve. So for our listeners and readers that haven't been to St. Elmo's, you got to have the shrimp cocktail.
But caution.
You had two of them, Steve? They're about $12 a piece, maybe 14.
I think it was more than that. I don't know. It's worth it.
They're very good.
Excellent.
But you got to be careful.
It's just part of the experience.
I think that's the biggest surprise of the story is that Isbitz paid $28 for shrimp cocktail. that's the story.
Well, usually the combine in Indianapolis is cold as can be, so that hot shrimp cocktail is just perfect.
There you go.
All right, Ira, Buccaneers free agency. As we said, as this podcast pops on JoeBucksFan.com, 16 days.
And you said free agency is maybe, you know, one where our website is the most visited day of the year.
It's not just us. It's excitement. Free agency equals hope. Free agency equals excitement.
But they need to come to us, though, Steve. They need to come to us for the latest.
Well, look, we are the dominant force in Tampa Bay media when it comes to the Bucs. Anything else is just, you know.
Yesterday's news.
It's just, I don't know. I don't know what you want to call it anymore.
You want biting analysis, you come here. Yeah, of course, you got you two guys, and then I'm the perfect compliment because I'm the voice of sanity. You're over there with America's quarterback, the rock star, who knows what you're going to call Light in a couple of months. And here I come
loving.
Along. And here I come along, walking that thin line of objectivity. Unbiased. Even Donald Trump would respect some
come
of the
on.
Stuff
you're not
write.
Objective, and we didn't hire you to be objective. We want to hear what you have to say.
Biting analysis.
But in all seriousness, take away running back, take away wide receiver. We already know you like Calais Campbell, okay, to be that difference maker on defense. What else? What else in free agency are you looking at as a target? Because maybe you don't get Calais Campbell. Maybe he goes somewhere else. He doesn't have to want to come here.
Well, if I see a strong side linebacker, that might interest me. You know, Darryl Smith was okay, gentlemen. He was okay. Didn't make a lot of splash plays. But, you know, the three of us who have watched a lot of Buck football, we also have to acknowledge that position, even though they don't play the cover two extensively anymore, that position, as far as I can remember, never makes any plays, I mean, so to speak.
Well,
it really doesn't.
You're bringing up something that's very interesting. I think it was this morning on JoeBucksFan.com, there was one of our commenters was just appalled that the Bucks don't have a full-time strong side linebacker. And I said, well, you're going to be upset for a while because the way the Bucks play defense, they're in a nickel or dime formation 65% of the time, if not more. So, of course, that's going to be a part-time player, your strong side linebacker.
And Levante's going to stay. And
Quan's going to stay,
and Quan's going to stay.
And so, you know, if a guy's going to be a part-time player, you're not going to invest a whole lot of money in that. So for fans out there that might be upset that they don't get a stud strong side linebacker or a guy that's going to be out there for 90%, it ain't going to happen.
That's fair.
And that's partially the whole NFL. That's not just the Bucs. That's the whole NFL. How many times have we heard this? It's a passing league. Well, if it's a passing league, you're going to be in a pass defense most of the
time.
And
Steve, while I do like Calais Campbell, as maybe even more than the two of you, I like everything I hear about Calais Campbell, on and off the field. I'm not stopping there. We thought they loaded up on the D-line, and how did that work out? It worked out okay. Nothing extra. McCoy still leads the team with 7.5 sacks, Steve. Nobody close to double digits. None of the defensive ends approach double digits. Ayers got hurt. Spence is a rookie. I understand. Golston can't rush the passer, so to speak. Not a lot's changed. I want more bodies. I want bigger bodies. And by the way, one thing that you and I haven't talked about on this Calais Campbell thing, he's 6'8", 300, gentlemen.
Yeah, he's a man beast.
He's a man. He's a man's man. And am I wrong, or did Mike Smith have a couple of those guys in the middle of that Jacksonville defense, and it was a pretty good defense?
Yeah, he did. You're very much a no-name, but phenomenal defense Mike Smith had for that five-year stretch.
I think he had a guy named Henderson.
Yes.
And maybe a Marcus Stroud or something like that.
Henderson's a huge dude.
Yeah, huge dude.
I really think, and I don't disagree with the hour, we could talk about this all day long, but I don't think the Bucs are really very deep at cornerback. They went into last year with Jonathan Banks. It didn't work out. You're rehashing why. Who knows? Doesn't really matter.
Can't count on Verner.
He's gone. Verner, you know, I'd be shocked if he's even on the team at his current salary, and he never seems to be able to make it.
He gets chance after chance.
He gets chance after chance. He can't play nickel. Who are they playing ahead of Verner at nickel? Jude Ajay Barima and Javian Elliott, an undrafted rookie. So he can't get on the field.
So you got the safety that's converting to corner, Steve.
And you got the safety, Ryan Smith, who's never played corner in the NFL, who's going to convert or go back to that because it's what he played in college.
No question there, Steve. No question.
I think it's kind of thin. Josh Robinson, who's a great special teams guy, who's a corner, but he didn't really play much corner. So, gosh.
He
couldn't win a job either at corner.
Steve, to go to Lee's point about specialization taking over how often do you only have two corners on the field?
There you go.
Not very often, Steve, so you better bulk up there.
I think they've become thin at cornerback. I understand if the organization might be high on Hey Jude and they like Javian Elliott.
Now, they drafted Hargraves, and Grimes was a good pickup, Steve. So
they have improved. The depth is not there.
Yeah, one of those two guys goes down.
In my opinion, I mean, if Grimes turns an ankle for 3 weeks, it might get kind of ugly, but you could say that about any team. I just think there are a lot of GMs out there who will say you can never have too many corners. And I think we're down Banks and Verner entering versus last year.
There's clearly a spot to look at in free agency is corner, no question about
it. But what I think is interesting, Lee, is with all this salary cap room, they got to spend it somewhere. And I am no fan, and I want like to hear what you guys think. I really am. I have to say I'm honestly no fan of signing guys in advance to lock them up with these early expensive deals.
Oh, you mean like people are saying, you got to sign Mike Evans.
Got to sign Mike Evans.
Why?
You know what? You know you don't. You don't have to sign him at all. They've got that fifth-year option. You don't have to sign any of these guys early. I'd rather go get some guys.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know what you think. Do they have to start locking up guys early, or they just go, worry about it later?
Your point's well taken. No panic on Jameis Winston, Lee. No panic. Mike Evans under contract. No, Quan Alexander.
Well, the obvious thing is
the guys that are going to be extended. It's a question of when.
The clearly obvious thing outside of what you're saying, Steve, the salary cap implications. The clearly obvious thing is, let's say you do re-up Mike Evans, give him an early deal, and then he goes out and blows out a knee. Well,
Yeah, I don't get the hurry. All these fans are hurt. How many teams really, really ache from deep losses because they were in salary cap trouble? Very, very few. It's very rare.
Steve, remember that line among many that Joel Glazer gave me way back when at an NFL owners meeting? And he claims it back then, and I think he would still say it. The Bucs have never lost a player that they really wanted to keep.
Yeah.
He makes that claim.
I think
he's proud of it.
Couldn't you say that about Everett? I agree with him, but I think that's the whole NFL. Because Derek Brooks always talks about this with Dumig. If they want you, they'll find a way to keep you.
It sounds pretty. It's a nice soundbite.
Mike Evans isn't going anywhere, Steve.
Again, there's Michael Bennett.
They obviously didn't want to keep him. So that it's sort of the Glazers' way of acknowledging we didn't want him. So, but we can always clarify that with Mr. Glazer. The one guy I would pay, and would like to hear what you think, Ira and gentlemen, the one guy I would pay would be Kevin Pamphill. He's played 3 years. And he's entering a contract year. And if you're going to pay anybody, and they usually pay the guys 1 year early if they're going to pay, the draft class, Jameis' draft class, they've only have 2 years in. But Pamphill's a guy who's very versatile, has proven pretty durable. They like the way he performed.
This is year four for Pamphill?
This is year four. You can lock him up cheaper this year, I think. And if you got to spend some money, that's a guy I would spend money on. There's teams across the NFL looking for offensive linemen. This guy showed he can play.
hey, guys, remember in midseason, you know, Jason Light and Cutter, I think it was Cutter at the podium, said our highest graded offensive line. And that's the Bucs films, right? They weren't talking about Pro Football Focus.
No.
You know, they're talking about their own films, gentlemen.
Yes.
Was Kevin Pamphile. Now, that surprised a lot of us.
All these people that think Pro Football Focus, specifically with their offensive line grades, are gospel of football.
The be-all and end-all.
I can't remember what it was. One of those stat geeks, you know, pardon me if I broad brush there.
Didn't they have Donald Penn as like the 30th left tackle?
Oh, those guys. Yeah. Anyway, I can't remember which one of those guys, this guy is a stat geek. I can't remember. Maybe he worked for them at one point, now works for ESPN and Sirius Radio, not Sirius NFL Radio, thank God. But he was a gasp. I can't think of the guy's name. Maybe you can remember the name. A guard with the Bengals who's rated the top 10 offensive guard by Pro Football Focus. And the Bengals said, you know what? We don't want you coming back. And he's 27 years old. That is all you need to know. If the guy was that damn good, no NFL team would leave a top shelf guard 27 years old and wave goodbye to him.
I don't refer to Pro Football Focus, Steve. I don't do it because I'm not sure who's doing the grades.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, back when you worked at the Tampa Tribune, your colleague Roy Cummings, he would quote them at times in stories. Was there any sort of edict that was kosher, not kosher? Nobody cared. Or?
No, Roy seemed to put a lot of stock in him, and he's not alone. Lee, other people do it.
Oh, well, yeah. I got to be fair. Some of the stuff they do, I think, is quality work. Like their missed tackles,
drop balls, maybe.
That is, and I'm not singling Pro Football Focus out about the drop balls, but drop balls in general is such a subjective stat. You can go out there and do a Google search on drop passes. And they're all over the map.
And it turns out it's a bad pass.
Well, again, it's so subjective. It's all over the map. Like, yeah. I'll just throw this out there. Let's say Pro Football Focus would have Mike Evans with 7 drop passes, and another site. I don't know. Football Outsiders. They'll have
database,
them with 12.
Database,
I mean, they're all. Yeah. I mean, it's all over the map. It's so subjective. So I'm not going to single out Pro Football Focus for that. But what the good things I do, I think, are missed tackles, yak. Yards after contact for running back. Now, I think that's interesting stuff, and I think that's okay. But their offensive line grades, go talk to any NFL GM at the owner's meeting and watch them freak out
about
that. It borders on irresponsible. It's so bad.
Yeah,
the yards after contact, to me, I think that's probably the most goofy thing that they do, just because what is contact?
I mean, literally.
You know what I mean?
Defensive guy touches a running back or a ball carrier. That's contact.
Right, and a lot of times that could be completely meaningless. You know, if I just
just
get a hand on a guy.
You got to be careful. Well,
you know, it's tough.
Let's take tackles, Steve, even tackles. The NFL would have Levante David for 131, and the Bucs have him for, you know, 152 one year, you know, 3 years ago.
Sure.
Big difference.
And that's been that way for decades.
And the Bucs aren't the only team that does that.
No,
kind of stuff.
And tackles have been that way on every level of football for decades.
I remember there was a guy named Jesse Tuggle, Steve.
I remember
Jesse
him.
Jesse Tuggle was on the Atlanta Falcons. He was a middle linebacker. 1 year, the Falcons had him for 210 tackles. who the heck's going to argue with them? I mean, they were trying to boost him to the Pro Bowl.
My question is, what would Tommy Nobis say?
All right, Ira. Well, you know what? It's going to get exciting as we tick closer toward free agency.
It's all about free agency, isn't it, Steve? At this point,
it really is. Well, I mean, it's hope, man. It's the season of hope. I mean, fans buy tickets, and they feel a part of that salary cap availability. And they want the team to spend money, and the team has to spend some money. So it's exciting to see what's going to happen here.
You believe that old theory, guys, that free agency, dipping into free agency in more than a cursory manner means you didn't draft well? You're trying to make up the draft mistakes.
Yeah. Exactly. You're plugging holes where the draft your draft picks didn't develop, and there's holes there. Yeah, of course.
I don't fully buy it because you only have so many draft picks, and you know you're going to have injury issues with a percentage of them to begin with, and some of the lower level ones you can't count on to begin with. I mean, free agency is part of the game now. It's just part of the game you have to hit. And you look at what the Giants pulled off last year, what the Raiders pulled off in free agency last year. There were some of those home run free agency players last year really hit a home run.
Or even the Bucks, Grimes and Ayers.
Hey, quick question, Steve. Jason Light said this in 2014, 2015, and I think it had a lot of validity that back then. But times have changed. Jason Light told us, you can't do everything at once. You can't do everything at once. You can't fill all the holes at once. And I think that's true.
Yeah, it's fair.
But my question to you guys, and I know we're bowing out on this, but this will be his fourth draft and fourth crack at free agency. So, Steve, when the dust settles this summer, is it fair to say that if Light's done his job, the Bucks should not have any glaring weaknesses, glaring trouble spots after 4 years of being at the till?
Glaring is the key word.
In other words, is it long enough to say, hey, fill your holes? This is 4 years in. Fill your holes.
Yeah, you would think that that's fair. That's fair. And it also goes to the point, maybe the hidden point here that, Charles Sims was Jason's pick. From a draft class, it doesn't have much left to it. I think they would love to see Charles Sims have a good year and be able to point to that and say, hey, it was our third-round pick. He's had another good year. You want to evaluate Light, you also have to look at the contracts he gave out. If Lavonte David doesn't have a very good year this year, well, Light's the guy who decided to extend him to $10 million a year. So there's all those decisions there. But, yeah, fourth year of a GM, you shouldn't be a rebuild.
But to be fair, Light didn't have all the power when Lavonte
David. I was just going to say that could qualify the first year because that was I just, Ira, you could take a shot from every bottle behind the bar here, and you can make better decisions than what Lovey made when he first came on board. It's just horrendous. Doesn't even begin to describe it.
Steve, we'll be back to delve further into free agency.
We'll be back next time. Don't forget, Ira's podcast is there for you on iTunes. You can listen to the ones you missed. It's there on Podbean. Ira loves a good tweet to shoot at him, at iKaufman76.
Yeah, you got to be careful here, Ira. You're going to get us in trouble. You and your vocabulary, which I admire so much. You dropped in biting commentary almost in the same breath as renting a cheerleader. Be careful, Ira. You got to be careful what you're saying here.
Yeah, so we don't want anybody to think you're Marv Albert. Okay.
Very nice, Steven. Till next time.